Well, good morning, friends. Here we are again. It's interesting that we're all shut in. Can you imagine being shut in such a nice place as this? We are really very fortunate, aren't we? Such a beautiful spot, looking over the gorge and enjoying the sunshine, the blue sky, and the blue water. Wonderful. Well, you remember last time we were together, we talked a little bit about the ability of God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. You remember the story of those three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, today we're moving on in the book of Daniel to chapter 5. It seems when you go through the book of Daniel that there are several sort of separate stories, separate events or incidents in the historical record. By the way, let me just remind you that history is very clear about King Nebuchadnezzar. He was a real person. These aren't fairy stories. He lived, let me see, from about 602 to 564 BC. Now that sounds strange, 600 to 500, but remember, it's BC, and we're counting backwards, you see. Anyway, you can think about that. All right, well now, in this story, it's another king. Actually, he is described as Nebuchadnezzar's son, and his name is Belshazzar. Now, there's some question as to whether he was sort of a regent at this time. You remember Nebuchadnezzar had a number of years when he was in madness. He couldn't do anything. He was just crazy. He was like an animal. He was eating grass like an ox, the Bible says. So somebody had to rule the kingdom, and it would appear that it was Belshazzar, his son. Anyway, Belshazzar was another proud person. He sort of, like Nebuchadnezzar, he felt he ruled the world. He was idolatrous. He didn't believe in the God of heaven and earth. And he decided one day that he was going to have a great banquet, and he was going to celebrate all the gods of Babylon. So he calls together about 1,000 people, all the important people in the kingdom of Babylon. And they sat there in this great banquet hall, drinking until it seems as though most of them were drunk anyway. And they worshiped the gods of Babylon. But Belshazzar made one big mistake. Back in 586 BC, Nebuchadnezzar had conquered Jerusalem. Remember, we talked a bit about that last time. And apparently what he did, he took all the golden vessels, all the special vessels that were used in the worship of God from the temple in Jerusalem, and took them back to Babylon. And I suppose they put them in a sort of case in front of all the gods of Babylon to sort of say, ha-ha, we've defeated everybody in Jerusalem, including the God of the Jews. Well, Belshazzar decided to send somebody to go and collect all these golden silver cups from the temple that had been captured and bring them into his banqueting hall. And I think his idea was, we'll show this God of the Jews what we think of him. So they filled the cups with wine and continued their drunken drinking in that great banqueting hall. Well, everybody was almost out of their senses. And as they sat there, all of a sudden, do you remember? The fingers of a man's hand appeared and began to write a message on the wall in Aramaic. Very strange looking letters. Can you imagine if you were sitting in a room and all of a sudden you saw the fingers of a man's hand writing on the wall? Boy, I think you'd really be scared, wouldn't you? Well, sure enough, all these crazy people that were enjoying this strange orgy in the banqueting hall, they were silent. You could hear a pin drop. Except, I guess you could hear Belshazzar's knees knocking. It says that he was just trembling as he saw this strange thing happening. What was he to do? Well, at that time, apparently, the queen came in. Now, probably the queen mother, maybe Belshazzar's mother, she came in. She was the queen of Nebuchadnezzar. Seems as though there's some difficulty in sort of translating that part of the story. And as she stood there, she saw the man's handwriting. And she heard Belshazzar yelling out, "Isn't there somebody who can tell me what this means?" None of the wise men sitting there, none of the astrologers, soothsayers as they're called, could read the message. And the queen said to Belshazzar, the king, "Do you know, years ago, when Nebuchadnezzar had a problem with his dreams and interpreting things, there was a man, he was called Daniel, he was a Jew, he came from Jerusalem, and he had a very strange power to interpret dreams. I imagine if you brought him in, he would be able to interpret what that writing says on the wall." Well, Belshazzar didn't hesitate. He sent somebody to bring in Daniel. Now, probably by this time, Daniel was an older man. And he comes in, and he sees what's going on, and he realized this was dishonoring not only to God, but to men, really. And the king said, "Daniel, I hear you are able to interpret dreams. You have a special spirit in you. You are able to tell us what that writing means up on the wall. It's very mysterious to all of us. We don't know what it means." Daniel said, "Yes, I believe in a God who is able to communicate with humans. And I believe that God is speaking to you. This isn't just an accident. This isn't just incidental. This is God speaking to you. Here you are dishonoring him, using the golden vessels from his temple in Jerusalem, poking fun at him. And God has spoken. Now let me interpret the words for you. I'll tell you what it says, first of all. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Now, those words are very powerful. And really, they're very frightening. As I interpret them, you will see it is a message from God to you. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. It really means measured, and divided, and destroyed. Yes, that's a strange message. But it means this. You are weighed in God's balance, and you are found wanting, and your kingdom is going to be destroyed. Wow, solemn words. What do you think that means? Weighed in the balance and found wanting. Well, just think about it. Nowadays, of course, when you go to the store, usually you put it in front of the teller, whatever you have, and it goes past the machine and the price is registered. Back in the days when I was young, they used to have scales. And in one side of the scale, they put the weight. If you wanted, say, 2 ounces or 4 ounces or 8 ounces of candy, they would put a certain weight. And then they would put your candies in the other scale on the other side. And once they were level with each other, you knew you had whatever you would ask for. 2 ounces, 4 ounces, 8 ounces, whatever. But sometimes, you know, the scale would not go down. It would be wanting. There would be something missing. You had to have more. And of course, in some tricky businesses, the businessman knew how to put his finger on the scale. And you didn't really get what you paid for. Weighed in the balance and found wanting. Now God is using this as a picture, and he's saying, I have a great balance. And in my balance there are requirements. And everyone is weighed in my scales. Everyone is judged. And Belshazzar, you are weighed in the balance tonight. And you are not able to answer my judgment. You know, there are a lot of us around today, and we think we can tip God's scale by doing good works. We say, oh yeah, I'm okay. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven because I do what I can. I'm a very nice person. I pay my debts, and oh yeah, I do everything I'm supposed to do. I go to church, I sing in the choir even. But you know, we aren't saved. We aren't matching God's scale by our good works, are we? The Bible actually says, by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, not of works, not any good things you do, in case you boast about it. There's only one way to make that scale balance, and that is by trusting in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Do you know, back during World War II, just before the war started, I happened to be with my father in London. And we were very close to St. Paul's Cathedral. My dad was showing me some of the famous buildings like St. Paul's and a place called the Old Bailey, which was the highest criminal court in Britain. You couldn't see the one and the other at the same time. But you know, after the bombing, so many buildings were destroyed that you could actually see St. Paul's Cathedral on one side and the Old Bailey on the other, the Court of Justice. And I tell you that because on the top of the Court of Justice, there was a picture of Lady Justice, and she was holding the scales. And on the top of St. Paul's Cathedral, there was a golden painted cross. And you could see both now. The barrier was down. And my dad used to tell me, you know, that's a picture of what causes God's balance to be matched and level. The cross of the Lord Jesus. He has answered all the questions, all the problems that we have. He has paid the judgment for us. And now we are no longer weighing God's balance and found wanting. God has saved us. Well, that's just a picture on the side. But anyway, you can imagine what it was like in that banqueting hall that night as the fingers moved and put those words on the wall. Numbered, weighed, divided. You are weighed in the balance and found wanting. Do you know, when all those people had left the banqueting hall, gone to their homes, I suppose gone to bed, something amazing was happening outside Babylon, that great city, surrounded by an amazing wall. And there was one place where a river came under the wall into the city and went through the city and out the other side. And of course it was a water supply for Babylon. And no doubt it was a place where they could go and sit by the river and enjoy themselves. But this night, something amazing was happening outside the city. The great king of Persia, a man called in the Bible Darius, he had come to attack the empire of Babylon. And the story goes that his men, and there were of course thousands and thousands of slaves to work, those men managed to divert the water of the river and to get the riverbed under the city wall dry. And they were able to make a place where the army could go right under the wall. And that very night, they captured the city and the empire of Babylon. Belshazzar himself was slain. You see, you can't play with God. Can't play games with God. You can't poke fun at God. You have to recognize who He is. And when you are involved in doing things that you know are wrong and sinning against God, you have to think, oh boy, God is still on the throne. God is still in charge. God is still the judge of all the earth. And the wonderful thing is to realize that if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus, if you trust in Him, He's the one who has carried our judgment for us. He's the one who has made God's scale even. And you are no longer found wanting. Without Him, of course, one day we're going to have to face the judgment of God. It says in the Bible, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But the Lord Jesus has borne our punishment for us, and we can commit our way to Him. So you see, this story from the book of Daniel isn't just a tale of something that happened centuries ago, millennia ago, in the city of Babylon. But it's a story with a message for us today. And we have to face it, each one of us. How are we living in the presence of God? Are we seeking to please Him? Are we trusting in Him? Do we acknowledge that He is the great God of the universe? Do we realize that He loved us so much that in order to save us from our sin, he sent the Lord Jesus not only to live here on planet Earth and do wonderful things, but to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, to save us. Well, these stories from the book of Daniel can teach us many things. And there are many other terrific pictures in the book of Daniel, we can't go into them today, that talk about not only what happened in history, but what is going to happen maybe one day soon, even in perhaps our lifetime. Can you imagine? The Bible is full of prophecy, foretelling the future, telling us things that are going to happen. And the book of Daniel, like the book of Revelation, has many amazing pictures about what is going to happen in a day which is still future. It not only talks about things that happen hundreds of years after Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, things that happen in absolute detail, but it talks about things that are still to be fulfilled. It even gives us a picture of the coming of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's quite a book worth reading. Maybe sometime we'll get a chance to go through some of the other stories together. So, great to be with you again. And I'm going to ask one of our granddaughters, Sarah, if she will bring us a message in song. So, if you take time to wait a minute, we'll be able to listen to Sarah singing for us some of the messages that she has recorded. So may God bless you all. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Without him we can do nothing, but with him we can do all things. He is the great Savior, the great Creator, the great Provider of our universe. So we'll say goodbye for now, and may God bless you. Thank you.